It's an irony and a paradox. The more spoken to we are in words, the more silent we become when those words are words of truth. Because they are words that are the emanation of the silence of our own soul. Inviting us to be still, to take no thought, to have no fear. And because we all are in the same boat, believe me, I speak from experience on all of these issues. The pains, the erroneous claims, the dis-ease or feeling ill at ease in body or mind can come to us all, and it's all part of the breaking up of who we seem to be and what seems to be the reality of us. It is that land that, to some degree, still remains undiscovered as a land in which we truly live and move and have our being on a permanent basis, but nevertheless it is a land of freedom, truth and light within us all as the eye of our being that we can certainly all touch the hem of the robe of from time to time. And it becomes our strength and our high tower. It becomes what we know we really need. Blessed are they who know their need of God. And God, being the eye of my own being, is no more than the freedom of the awareness of the true nature of my own self, the one life. What fear does it experience? The one life, whose very nature is omnipotence itself. And so any sense of fear has to some degree to be that aspect of the nature of mankind that is still in evidence and in operation within me and within you, within us all, some aspect of personal sense. But in this introduction, when speaking of this land in consciousness that remains undiscovered, not yet revealed by religion, philosophy or science, Joel says that I know it exists, and I know that when it discloses itself, it will change the nature of mankind. The action of non-action is the greatest of all action, we are told in the Tao Te Ching, and sometimes, not rushing out there and being the doer, but giving time, first and foremost, things to God, giving time to even just a moment of stillness can truly transform the outcome of the imminence of the next moment. I remember at one time when I, in the 60s, I was at a school of philosophy in London, and one of the practical mystical exercises that they taught was to pause between every single different action. Not to bring the vibration and the momentum of one type or style or form of activity into the next. And so even when you walk through a door, or if you enter a building, or if you finish a task, you don't just drive into the next, but you give yourself that moment to be still, in which actually to retain or maintain the connection that you already feel and are aware of within yourself with the oneness of your being. Because being and doing in reality, in truth, are one. When they are allowed to be the expression and manifestation of the consciousness that we are. What I do is what I am appearing. And so the being that I am appears as the doer that I seem to be. And when Joel says that this undiscovered land, when it discloses itself, will change the nature of mankind, who is it changing first? but you. Someone once said, what you see is simply how you are seeing. And so it changes the way we apply ourselves to what we see. Whilst at one time on one level and in one way it is absolutely right to rise to the occasion, to respond or react to the appearance on the level of effect, the transformation of consciousness from sense to soul invites us to respond in another way. This, the fact that we don't appear necessarily to take the same kind of action as the natural man might seem to do doesn't mean that we're not doing what we do. But what we do is be. Being is what we do. Yes, Mr. Titchell, the immigration officers used to say, what do you do? Oh, well, I'm self-employed. Yes, miss, but what do you do? What do I do? And I eventually found that I could account for myself quite adequately by saying I teach meditation. But I don't. I just am. You just can't say that to the natural man. So you find something that satisfies him. Oh, very well. Good, good, good. As if he knows what he's talking about. He thinks I know what I'm talking about. And I haven't the first idea how to teach meditation. Because that's a level of function. But it isn't the level of the activity of being, which is not doing. So what do I do? I am, sir. Take him away. It's a bit funny. But we need to learn to live in the world and be not of it. And so we learn all sorts of the tricks of our trade. How to account for ourselves in the world of men. How to be normal and yet within ourselves be doing the work of knowing the truth that makes free. And yet even there again, who is the very first one who experiences the fruits of the freedom of their own knowing, but we ourselves. And the far-reaching effects of that, which, when it discloses itself, will change the nature of mankind, Joel says, is that even wars will be no more. In my kingdom, that land as yet undiscovered by the natural man and the human mind, but which is within and available to us all, contains no wars, except the battle between the spirit and the flesh, of which we are told that isn't even your battle. I within you will take care of it all. It's a total submission and surrender to the omnipotence of the Christ of our own being, with faith, trust and hope in things unseen. Which is the act of commitment that is required, the price on the ticket, if we are to attain the willingness to leave all. For, and here we are again, for whose sake? It says, for my sake. But who is that? My, but me, when I and the Father are one. So all the letting go and all of the giving up of the mortal and the ghost that we seem to have to, is the price we have to pay, is really only for our own blessing, if we did but know it. And as circumstance and life provides each and every one of us with those opportunities to let go, sometimes extremities where it's really beyond our own capacity, where we even reach out to a practitioner and say, be with me, give me some help. Even that is a moment of opportunity to surrender, to truly trust in the consciousness of that one to whom you turn, who says, leave it with me. I will be with you. When that is enough to placate our fear and concern, their freedom becomes ours. It's called healing. But what is being healed? Is anything real being changed? Or is just the illusion, or are not just the illusions of sense being dissolved? For the nothingness they are, darkness in the presence of the light. We seem to be experiencing the forms as which the darkness of material sense are presenting and appearing. Reach out to a practitioner, to the light, and say, can you help me get rid of the darkness? And the light says, oh yes, I'll help you get rid of the darkness. The light that knows no darkness. But once again, it's a concession to words, isn't it? When I first met Lorraine in 1976, and I went to visit her before the class, we spoke in her living room, and her sister Valborg and her husband at the time were there. Much to my surprise, I remember as I walked in, the television was on. I thought, that's funny. I thought it would be kind of silent. Don't speak, don't make any, don't creak any floorboards, oh my word. The television, I thought, oh my word, that seems pretty normal, weird. Can't be very spiritual, these people. Oh dear. Anyway, finally Lorraine said, let's just go into my study and we'll meditate. And we meditated, and don't ask me how long timeless awareness lasts. I have no idea. But when I came out of it, I only know that I looked across the room. That was the seeming. I was a beholder of an image of light that was the reality of her soul made manifest and appearing. And I just, it's like I was, and I said, I feel as if I should say thank you, but I just don't know how or who to. And the first practical words of mystical instruction that Lorraine ever gave me were just be natural. Because that is our greatest protection in the world. We're not denying our spiritual integrity by the ability to be natural with the natural man. We are protecting it. What has he got to question if we don't put something on display? We just need to learn how to be in the world. Naturally. And the wonderful thing, and this has always struck me about the Infinite Way. I remember when I first saw my first ever Infinite Way practitioner, she looked such an ordinary lady. I thought, she can't be a practitioner. She looks much too ordinary. I mean, that was that arrogance again. You say, oh dear, I've come from a dark place. It was the arrogance of judgment that person, she can't be a practitioner. She looks much too ordinary. She's talking and going around gossiping and being too normal to be a practitioner. Like the two students who visited Lorraine. And I know many of you know the story. Knocked on her door, and just as they knocked on the door of her apartment, there she came around the corner of the corridor with a great basket full of washing. And they said, oh, we didn't think you did the washing. We thought you'd be in there meditating. And she said, you don't think doing the washing stops me meditating, do you? How natural is that? So cleaning the car is no longer a chore, is it? Whose car are you cleaning? It's like the Shakers, isn't it? They were mystics, mystic carpenters, religious devotees whose talents were to work with wood. And they would perfect to the last nth degree every dovetail joint, every spindle, every aspect of stress and movement and strain on the chair that would accommodate whatever it would need through its lifetime. And when asked, why? Why do you spend so long just perfecting a simple chair? They said, because you never know when an angel will come and sit in it. Who is sitting in your chair? Have you ever thought, was it not, who was that? Saint Teresa of Avila, I think. who said the only hands Christ has with which to minister are yours. The only mouth with which truth has to speak is yours. The only body Christ has to go from here to there, to bring and share the living word, albeit within the silence of his own awareness, is yours. So who is where you are, other than I am? Do you have to make it so? Or is it not already so? Done. Before you even call, it says, I will answer. Where am I? Here. Before you even call. Before you need me, I know your need. Before you reach out, I hold your hand. Before you even see or know me, I am come. Within and as the eye of your being. For who is it that you are, other than that which alone is the all and only, the one life, I am? Who sits within you but that Christ that is the Son of the living God? And so this whole dilemma and dichotomy from sense to soul, the mortal and the immortal, as we are willing, through the acknowledgement of the already isness and ever-presence of that which we set out to seek, as we are willing to cease from man, so does that which we truly are come ever more fully into our awareness, as the reality that is the truth of our being. Whom do you say, I, within you, not outside you, not other than you, but within and as the I that you are, whom do you say I am? And that is the purpose of a class, to bring us from who we thought we were when we walked in to who we know ourselves to be when we walk out. But actually, the whole illusion of coming and going is part of the duality of a material sense of life. In reality, no one ever came. And no one ever went. No one ever comes and no one ever goes. Who comes? Who? When I ask myself, I wondered how on earth I got from then to now. Who? Does that which is ever present and eternal in the now moment as the only life have to come from and somehow work its way, struggle by the sweat of its brow to, oh, that's a relief, here I am 30 years on. Or am I not eternal and ever present in and as the fullness of that which alone is, the only time in reality there has ever been, the eternal now, in which I and the Father are forever one? We're not being taught, we're simply being reminded of the truth of ourselves that is innate, an innate part of our being. And if you'll notice, this class is all on being, the truth of being, not, it's just not giving time or catering to the seeming, is it? Because we're in North Carolina, after all. I mean, how would I dare? How would I dare but abide by the state motto? Of to be rather than to seem. And that is the challenge of the high calling in and for us all. To let me, the I that we are, be the all that there is. And be willing fearlessly to let go of the mortal, to put off the mortal and put on the immortal. And it is a corresponding, simultaneous, effortless process of transformation from sense to soul, like a dimmer switch. As you increase the light, you don't then have to think, well, how am I going to get rid of the darkness that was here before the light? The infusion of the one is the dissolution of the other, ultimately to the preclusion of that so-called other and the revelation of the one, ever-present, that is the light. And who is that? I mean, if there is only one and you are that, who is that? It just cannot be claimed. It must be released, but allowed to remain. Because omnipresence isn't going to go anywhere. Divine or even human, true relationship isn't going to go anywhere. It is, as Shakespeare said, that love that changeth not, though change is find. If permanent it is meant to be, then permanent it will be. If given to be as one, it is by God. Nothing can deny it. Neither time nor space. For who or what can persuade me that either life or death can separate me from the love of God? And when we share with our so-called other the love of God, it is a permanent relationship of oneness in being. Not seeming, that comes and goes, as Joel tells us here. What we become aware of through the senses eventually changes and disappears. But this inner world, this inner connection, this inner union with life, truth, and love, a holy union, when we become aware of that inner world, that divine spiritual consciousness is the truth, that is the truth of our being, will never disappear. Can I die? So what happens to the fear of death when I know myself as I am? And I can honestly speak from an experience that took place within me at the time that I thought I was about to. I thought, personal sense, that after the experience I wrote in my little black book about death and dying, you think you will until you do, and then you see you haven't. How can I die? But I have to be who it is that I am, don't I? That is life eternal. To find my freedom from the imposition of the universal belief in a self and apart from God, who does come and go, appear and disappear, was born and will die. Because the I am that I am, the consciousness I am eternally in the heavens, is beyond the approach of all opposites. It cannot enter to defile or make a lie that universal belief. It is but the darkness coming to the light. And when presented with, either in ourselves or any other, find place or a state of non-reaction to the claim or the appearance, the suggestion or the seeming, and just be, we become a law of harmony and a re-establishment of peace in the awareness of that one who is bringing that claim or concern to our awareness. For who is it? If we see or know or have any other than I am, we are hypnotized by the universal illusion. There's nobody out there Don't be fooled. I'm not even here. But I am here. In the fullness and the freedom of my eternal, omnipresent, incorporeal being. And so are you. And we are one. In that dimension of being. That is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Of your being and mine. The one life. And so we can relax. Stop trying to be what it is we've never not been. And just let what it is that we are reveal itself as. In the now moment. Right here. In your chair. And in mine. That we might see and know each other as we truly are. And be satisfied. How glorious is the vision of the truth of being. How perfect is that one I know thee to be. When I see and know you as you are, not as you seem to be. When I judge not by the appearance, but righteous judgment. And that isn't even judgment, it's discernment. Great difference. Human judgment, spiritual discernment. Choose ye, this day, whom you will serve. The light that reveals the truth of infinite individual being, man, created as he truly is in the image and likeness of God, seen through the effortless power of revelation and discernment, becoming our vision, moment to moment, every moment, as a permanent dispensation. Joel says in New Horizon, this world is real and permanent. It's a world of vision, containing the vision of omnipresence that is, as Joel tells us, the vision to behold. So when we see, as the natural man sees, we know, as a spiritual aspirant, that it's time to wake up out of the dream. And do the necessary work of reminding ourselves of what is the truth of being. Lest we should judge and condemn ourselves for who we think we are, what we seem to do or don't do. Omission or commission. When neither aspect of those opposites, it says, availeth anything. It's not a power, it's not a reality. It's part of the seeming, which is the hypnotism of a material sense of life, the whole illusion or delusion of separation. If we are suffering a sense of separation, we realize we are to some degree suffering the universal belief in two powers. And the ultimate solution to that universal belief is found ultimately only as a result of the work we do in re-establishing ourselves in the realization of oneness. That in reality there is only one. I am that, and its omnipresence includes all being. My conscious union with God, I don't know if it says it in parenthesis, constitutes my conscious union with all spiritual being. Here it is, and idea. Illumination dissolves all material ties. You see, why do we need hold to the material ties? Oh yes, but they're my children, it's my pet, it's my job, it's my house, it's my income, it's my car, it's my... Who is this my? Illumination dissolves all material ties. And is that not what we seek? So having sought for so long, why are we surprised that material ties are beginning to be dissolved? Why should we fear? When it says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And binds men together with the golden chains of spiritual understanding. Everything that we are taught must be transcended. Everything that is revealed must be accepted. We are taught, if that is our state of consciousness and our level of life, to pray for our enemies. What enemies do I have in me? What is to be found other than I am? This is a state of mystical consciousness. And yet, as Ramakrishna said of himself, if I can find this, touch the hem of this robe, any man can. It can happen. It is the reality of us all. It is the only inevitable that we awaken. After many happy returns and birthdays to the eternal ever-presence that is the reality and truth of the I that we are as eternal being, from which then we live out our life and apply the principles that we know to refer to the truth of being in the face of what seems and claims to be a power, a presence, an identity, or a condition called this world. Then it will enhance every aspect of our individual talents, God-given gifts that we share so fully and so lovingly and so freely with our fellow man. It doesn't matter what we do. If it is out the consciousness we are appearing as, it will be enhanced by our willingness to see through the level on which it seems to the level on which it truly is, an activity and an expression of our individual being and soul, made manifest on earth as it is in heaven. As a result of which, Joel says, the illumined walk without fear by grace. And so how did I get to now accept by grace? How did who? You see, somehow, somewhere along the way must take place the dissolution of the one who seems to be making the journey. I remember seeing a television program on BBC, maybe the late 60s, early 70s, when Krishnamurti was being interviewed by the then Larry King of English television, who was quite an intellectual person, well respected. And the first question he asked Krishnamurti was about the spiritual journey, and he said, there is no journey. He said, what? Well, you see, ultimately, the revelation of truth reveals that who makes the journey? The journey of no journey, the way of no way. Just the way of being. But the one that already is. And is already expressing itself as the I that we are. So as was given me in that poem called The Light, the final verse, the journey is but letting go. Arriving at the one we know we are, the one we've always been, the one I am, the never seen, the light. So it isn't in adding to, but in giving up and surrendering all, leaving all, that we find the true nature of who and what it is that we are. That I, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, pure spiritual being, ever present, every moment, in its fullness, as the eye of our being in the eternal now, whose nature constitutes the reality and the truth of each and every one of us, infinite individual being, And as we surrender mortality, the parameters of sense, the illusions of separation and division, the possibility of having a physical frame that can suffer from some universal belief, and take upon ourselves the revelation of immortality itself, that we are immortal, eternal, changeless, incorporeal and omnipresent, invisible being, whose very nature is omnipotence itself. Why then should I fear what mortal man can do when I know the nature of individual being? Thou couldst have no power, and so even after being crucified, the ultimate power of the last enemy itself was revealed to be but futility itself. It did nothing to the reality and ever-presence of the Christ, the Son of the living God in individual being, that appeared in 3 days, but which never went anywhere, never disappeared from those who had eyes to see, even as now. Let us not be among those given eyes they see not, and given ears they hear not, but among those few who are the laborers of that divine harvest in the fields of the Lord, who see, regardless of appearance and seeming, that which truly is, and who, as a result of that vision, are used as instruments of resurrection and ascension, raising up the Son of God, the light in man. Among the few who do not rise to the bait and respond or react to the fears and the foes, the foibles, the words of men, the threats of nations, but in whose instant response, we hear this in the whole of the, what is this national security instant response? We're an instant response team. And as Lorraine once said to me, the infinite way is a spiritual underground. We are in that underground of instant response, where our response isn't to take up the sword of self-defense. What self needs defending? When we know the truth of being. But our instant response is to know that truth of being. To know that beside me there is none other. That these wars and rumors of wars, these threats to life, are just the claims of the carnal mind, universal belief, mental suggestion. Not a power, not a person. We can nothingize it and stand our ground and hold fast to the faith and be an influence of resurrection, harmony and healing. After all, why is the I that we are, the Christ, come but to heal? For any other reason? To awaken those with no awareness of life, those who, to all intents and purposes, are dead to life. Joel calls human beings the walking dead. Even Lazarus, given the condition that the natural world regarded as death, was revealed by the Christ vision just to be in the sleep of the human dream of universal belief, of duality, birth and death. But when called, he rose. And when, even whilst yet in the grip of what seems to be a claim of a material sense, even to the loss of life, we can rise and shine, for our life is come. That we have life more abundant, freedom to function, to rejoice in the freedom we know ourselves to be, to delight and to play in a garden of love with children of God. Don't you remember how wonderful it was when your little friend would come and ask if you could go out to play? Best time of the day, wasn't it? Best time in life. why don't you come out to play with me? In the freedom of these fields of the Spirit that reveal my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, filled with light, the freedom and the joy of the freedom to be the freedom that we are. And these are not empty promises. These signposts that point towards my kingdom are not going to lead us the wrong way. We are just asked and invited to take up our cross and follow. It doesn't matter. Bring it with you. It doesn't matter. Believe me, it will be taken care of and fall away along the way. And if heavier than you are able to lift, it might seem to be, then I within you will be there with you, for you. And ultimately reveal myself as you. When you fearlessly allow the person you think you are to fall away. And the freedom of that Christ that is the Son of the living God, that is the truth of your being, to be revealed. To this end was I born. To realize I was never born, but am life eternal. And for this very hour, the eternal now, ever present, am I come. To this place in consciousness to realize the freedom that is the truth of man created in the image and likeness of God as spirit. And not fear, not take up the sword, not rise to the bait, and not react to the claim or the appearance, but to do my work. When the first time I ever called Lorraine for help, I'd only just got back from her first class, which was an amazing experience. It was like all hell let loose. And I called her. I'd never, ever been presented with something that either didn't in my earlier stages of life immediately go to the doctor for, or hadn't previously been able to see through. And suddenly I found myself impaled with it like a sword through my side. And I reached out for help. And the very first thing she said was, I will give you help, but this is your work. How wonderful to be given our work. And you are. This day, the work of awakening has extended its hand of welcome to us all and said, come unto me. Doesn't matter, even if you labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then as you find this place of peace and rest prepared from since before the world was, there's that phrase again, in the freedom of now, just abide in me and let me abide in you, and you will bring forth fruit richly. These are not empty promises. These are those truths that are inevitable, that if you sow the seed, you reap the fruits of the tree of life. That if any man should drink of the living waters that I within him give him now, he will never thirst again. And I know from my own experience how many opportunities we all have to apply these truths, to remind ourselves and lay the axe at the root of what in reality is nothing but the imposition on us of a universal belief in separation from God, from our loved ones, from ourselves. When I in truth forever am, none other than the I am that I am. Whose omnipotence and omnipresence is and shall forever be my divine protection from the imposition of that which is really no more than belief. ignorance. When I know 2 and 2 is 4, what happened to the 3 or the 5 I once thought it to be and wondered why my maths never worked out? Nothing happened to it. It just is no more when that which is perfect is come. That which was in part is no more. And when is that which is perfect come? But now. Before you call. Already. And forever. So. World without end. Real and permanent. I am, which comes from the Sanskrit aham. I am, or amen. Let that be. As Jesus said, I don't need to pray. The end of all prayer of beseeching and the beginning of the prayer of knowing. And then, though I may not need to pray, as Jesus said, as our act of commitment and service for the sake of those gathered here, I will pray. But in praying, I teach the silence of being, knowing that because we are one, I speak and you hear my voice. Just don't personalize it. So thank you. And we meet again for our next meditation at 2:15. Thank you.